Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour, sitcoms. Later on, it's The Aldrich Family from 1948. But first, an episode of The Life of Riley called Riley the Gentleman. Heard on NBC first on March 29th, 1947.
The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Once in a while, Chester A. Riley comes to the conclusion that he's losing the love of his wife, Peg. This time, our story starts with a chair, an old corduroy-covered Morris chair, which Riley's mother gave them 17 years ago for a wedding present. Every evening, Riley, with a sigh of satisfaction, would settle down in his old Morris chair.
Darn that spring. Poor Morris is getting old.
And then a few days ago, Riley had a birthday, and his wife presented him with a brand new chair, a modern one, covered in leather and equipped with the latest style air cushion. This chair didn't go. Instead, whenever Riley sat down, it went. And whenever he stood up, it went.
Ah, what a chair. It ain't every wife who'd give her husband a gorgeous chair like this. That's because she's so crazy about me. Ah, she's a lucky woman.
And the days passed, and Riley was a happy man, secure in the knowledge that his wife adored him. Until one night, Riley and his wife and their neighbor Jim Gillis were on their way home from the movies.
Oh, my, I enjoyed that movie, didn't you, Mr. Gillis?
Oh, yeah, I'm a fiend for them pictures about the olden days. I get a kick out of seeing all them aristocrats. The dukes with their duchesses and the barons with their baronesses and the counts with their discounts.
Well, I liked the movie, okay, but there was one part that wasn't true to life.
What part?
Well, you know, that big scene at the end where all them servants are standing around. All of a sudden, the duke, right in front of the dame he loves, takes off his hat with the built-in broom and starts sweeping the floor.
He wasn't sweeping, he was bowing.
Oh.
They were very polite in those days.
Oh, yeah. The men spent half of their time bowing.
Well, they never got me to do that. Not with all them knights standing around with those lances.
Oh, Riley.
If you ask me, all that bowing's a lot of bunk. A fella can be polite without rubbing his chin on the floor.
Well, just the same, the average man could take a few lessons on how to treat a woman politely.
You hear that, Riley? She means you.
Me? You're crazy, Gillis. Peg, tell Gillis how polite I am. Go on, tell him.
Oh, let's change the subject.
No,
hey, you see, Riley? Your wife don't want to embarrass you. She's a gentleman.
Well, sure she's a gentleman, and she learned it from me. You sure got a nerve, Gillis, telling me I ain't polite.
Oh, now calm down, dear.
Yeah, why get excited, Riley? Supposing I did say you got bad manners. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't want it to get around. Who's got bad manners? Why, you...
Oh, Riley, look, there's our boss.
Hey, we'll miss it. Come on, let's make a run for it.
Hey, wait a minute, wait. Hold it. Hey, hold it, driver. Hold it. Hold the bus there.
Hey, man. There ain't another bus for an hour.
Gee, it's crowded. And look, just what I expected. All the women are standing and all the men are sitting. Every one of them.
Well, there's a woman sitting.
That's the bus driver.
Well, anyway, Gillis, I'm always polite to women.
Oh, who you trying to kid? I seen the way you treat Peg.
Oh, is that so? Well, I'm wonderful to her. I got one policy. I treat my wife the way I would any stranger.
That's the trouble. Do you ever go out of your way to show her a little common courtesy?
I show her the most common courtesy.
Do you ever open a door for her? Help her on with her coat, or take her arm when she's crossing the street.
Gillis, that stuff's not for married people. That's for people who are in love.
You mean you don't love your wife?
No, I'm crazy about her. She's a wonderful wife, one in a million. Wives like mine don't hang from trees.
Well, if you love her, why don't you show it? Now, you take me. I'm a thoughtful husband. Two, three times a week, I sneak into my house, put my hands over my wife's eyes, give her a kiss, and say, guess who?
Well, that wouldn't work with my wife. She's no good at guessing.
All right, have it your way. But don't say I didn't warn you. It's the little things that count with women. And one of these days, your wife's liable to get fed up with you.
Well, you ain't scaring me, Gillis. I'm polite enough for my peg.
That's what you think.
All right, you don't believe me. Well, ask her if I ain't always considerate. Hey, Dumplin', Gillis here says that, Hey, Peg. Hey, where are you, Peg?
Holy smoke, I didn't wait for her to catch the bus.
Here comes the bus, Gillis, at last. Peg must be on this one.
Yeah, well, so long, pal.
No, wait a minute, Gillis.
Oh, no, not me. After what you done to Peg, I'd rather face the wildest beast. So I'm going home to my wife. So long, Riley. See you in the hospital.
Gillis, wait a minute. Don't leave me. Wait. You... Darling, let me help you down.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Oh. Excuse me. I thought you... Oh, here you are, Dumplin. Well, where did you disappear to?
Where did I? Well, of all the...
Wait, Dumplin', wait.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, running off like that and leaving me a blot behind. Some gentleman.
But, Dumplin', it was a natural mistake.
Natural? Apparently you never heard of the expression, ladies first.
But this was a bus, not a sinking ship. I'm sorry, Dumplin', it won't happen again. I'll be polite from now on. I promise. Here, take my arm while we walk home, eh?
We are home.
Wait, let me open the door for you.
I've got it open.
Well, then let me carry you across the threshold, huh? So, slams the door right in my face. Nice manners. Oh, well, she'll cool off in a little while, forget all about it.
Are you sure, Riley?
Who said that?
I did. You remember me. I'm your conscience.
I don't see you.
Of course not. I'm in your head.
That's a lie. There's nothing in my head.
You can say that again.
There's nothing in my head.
Riley, Gillis was right. Keep on treating Peg the way you are and you'll lose her.
Oh, who are you kidding? I treat her nice.
Oh, come. Be honest. What about the bus just now?
Oh. You were there?
Of course I was. Everywhere you go, I go. When you get on the bus, I get on the bus.
Why don't you pay the fare once?
We're talking about you. And Peg, that sweet woman, giving you the best years of her life. When have you ever shown her any courtesy?
Well, lots of times.
Name one.
Well, I'm always thinking of her. Like when my son Junior was going to be born and it was time for Peg to go to the hospital. Who ran to the drugstore in a raging blizzard to phone for a taxi?
Your mother.
Well, who loaned her the nickel?
Never mind that. I'm talking about common, ordinary, everyday courtesy. When there's only one meatball left on the platter, do you let her have it?
Well...
When there's only one chair... Do you let her have it?
Ah, that's where I got you. Just yesterday, we were in a place and there was only one chair, and I let her have it instead of me.
That was at the dentist. Face the facts, Riley. Admit you've been thoughtless and inconsiderate to your wife.
Okay, you win. I admit it. I'm a beast.
Do you want to lose your wife's love?
No. I can't live without her. She's the most wonderful...
Then mend your ways. Start being polite.
Polite? Well, okay, I will. How do I start?
Well, it's the little things that women appreciate. Cultivate little gestures, like standing up when she enters the room, or when she leaves it. Did you ever do that?
Well, no, my feet hurt. I got cheap arch supports.
That's no excuse.
No, you're right. I'm going right in and tell Peg how polite I'm going to be.
No, don't tell her anything. Let your deeds speak for themselves.
Yeah. That's a better idea. I'll cultivate myself and grow on her.
Yeah. She'll notice the change in you. And she'll change, too. She'll become more affectionate, more tender, loving.
Oh, I can hardly wait. From now on, I'm going to be a perfect gentleman. I'll keep my coat on at the table. I'll stand up when she comes into the room or goes out. And when there's only one meatball left, we'll split it. Yes, madam, it's me. Dumpling, sweetheart, you still mad at me? Please, don't be mad.
Well, I'll overlook it this time. But next time...
Oh, don't worry. There won't be no next time. From now on, I'm... Well, you'll see.
All right. How about dinner?
Oh, is grub ready? Pardon the crude expression. I meant to say, is grub being served?
Well, not for a while yet. Sit down and relax, dear. Well, why don't you sit down?
You sit down first.
Riley, I haven't got time to play games. Well, I better go take a look at the roast.
Oh, she's going. Now it's okay to sit. Oh, I love this chair. I think I'll take a look at the paper and see what's happening in this busy old world. Where's Joe Palooka? Oh, here it is.
Riley, dinner will be ready in just a moment. What's the matter? Why'd you jump up?
Well, nothing. Well, would you like to sit in this chair you got me?
Well, why? Isn't it comfortable?
Oh, no, it's comfortable. I just thought...
Well, that's your chair. I'll sit on the sofa.
Okay, then I'll sit too. Oh, this is cozy.
Mother, I basted the... Oh, hello, Daddy.
Good evening, daughter Beth.
Well, for heaven's sake, Riley, why are you so fidgety? Can't you sit still for a minute without jumping up?
Oh, I'm dead. I've just got to sit down.
Yeah, let's all sit down.
Oh, Babs, did you turn the oven heat down to 300?
Oh, I don't remember. I'll go and see.
Oh, no. You sit there, dear.
Yeah, sit there, Babs.
I'll go see.
Oh, no, Mother, you rest. Let me look. Oh, I might as well set the table, too.
Oh, I better give her a hand. There you go again. My goodness, can't you relax? I'll call you when dinner's ready.
Thank heaven they're gone. I never figured if you want to be a gentleman, you got to wear out the seat of your pants.
But, Mother, are you sure Daddy doesn't like the new chair you bought him?
I'm positive. Didn't you notice last night he didn't sit in that chair for one solid minute? Kept fidgeting all evening, getting up, then sitting down, then getting up again. Why, I didn't realize he found it so uncomfortable.
But he would have told you.
Well, after all, it was his birthday gift. He wouldn't want to hurt my feelings.
Oh, it's too bad. But you can't return the chair now, can you?
Yes, I can. I phoned the store and they said it'd be all right. They'll call for it today.
But Daddy won't have a chair.
Well, I'll get the old one down from the attic.
Oh, Mother, it's a wreck.
Well, I'll put that flowered cretonne slipcover on it. It'll look brand new.
But that broken spring... Whenever I have company, they all make jokes about it.
Well, yes, it is pretty awful, but if your father misses it, there's no sense making him unhappy.
I suppose you're right. Aren't men weird?
Not all men, dear. Just your father.
Easy now, Max. Watch that step. This chair sure is heavy.
Hey, yo, wait. What's the idea? Where are you going with my new chair?
Taking it back to the store. Out of the way, mister.
But you can't do that.
Sorry, mister. We got our orders.
Never mind orders. You take orders from the boss of this house.
The lady said to take it back.
Well, go on. You got your orders.
Okay, Joe. Let's go.
I don't understand. She's sending it back. My birthday gift. Why?
You know why, Riley.
Oh, it's you, Conscience. Why don't you leave me alone?
I'll never leave you alone. I'll always be right here inside your head.
All right, stay there. But you'll be sorry. One of these days, I'll stick my head in a cement mixer.
Don't avoid the subject, Riley. Why did Peg return that chair to the store?
Well, the chair was yellow. It clashed with my complexion.
Yellow and green don't clash. Answer my question.
Well, it was the air cushion. It made a draft. She was afraid I'd get pneumonia.
You don't sit on your chest. Answer my question.
She don't love me anymore?
Oh, you do know why, don't you?
Because I wasn't polite to her all these years.
You didn't realize how important politeness is if you want to hold a woman.
That's where I made my big mistake. I always thought being good-looking was enough.
Riley, we're talking about you.
But I tried to reform.
Too late?
No, no, it ain't too late. I'll show you. She'll give me another chance.
It's no use. Her love is cold.
No, I'll warm it up again. You'll see. Where is she? Look. Look, a new chair. You were wrong. She still loves me.
Wait. Don't jump at conclusions.
No, this proves it. She gave back the yellow chair and got this one because it's more beautiful. It's gorgeous. Look at that cover and all those flowers.
There's something strange about this chair, Riley.
Oh, shut up. Peg loves me. This chair proves it. Now stop pestering me. I want to try it out. I bet it's even more comfortable than...
It's the old chair, Riley.
What a revolting development this is.
Babs, if the old chair makes your father happy...
I know it does, Mother, but it doesn't go with the rest of the furniture.
Well, I thought the slipcover was very pretty.
Well, the slipcover's fine, but the chair's such an eyesore.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that. We'll just have to put up with it.
Where'd you ever get it, anyway?
Well, it was a wedding gift from your father's mother.
Oh, it's so out of place. Every time I look at it, it makes me positively ill.
Riley.
What is it, Conscience?
How long are you going to sit out here on the porch? I'm cold.
Oh, leave me alone, Conscience. My Peg don't love me no more, and I can't blame her. I'm a failure as a husband.
Poor Riley. It may not be as bad as you think. Maybe there's still a chance. Peg's in the kitchen. Ask her to forgive you. She's done it before.
That's right. She's the forgiving kind. I remember on our wedding day when I missed the train and she had to go on our honeymoon without me. She didn't seem to mind at all.
Then go on. Go to her at once.
Yeah, I'll go.
Well, open the door and go in.
Yeah, okay.
No, wait. Listen. They're talking.
Well, that's beside the point, Babs. Think of your father.
They're talking about you, Riley.
Yeah.
After all, Babs, I can't stand the ugly old thing either. But I guess I'll just have to make the best of it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
But honestly, Mother, when the girls come over, I'm ashamed to have them see such a mess. Posing in all the wrong places.
I'll give up potatoes.
And pastry, too.
You stay out of this.
There's nothing I can do. After all, I am his wife.
But 17 years, Mother, how on earth did you stand it? I thought you had better taste.
Now, don't blame me. Blame his mother.
My father's to blame, too.
Well, don't let it worry you, dear. I'll get rid of that monstrosity. Come on, let's set the tape.
Oh, Riley. Daddy, we didn't know you were home.
I'll bet you didn't.
Riley, did you look in the living room? The chair.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, I decided...
That's all right. You don't have to say any more. I got what's coming to me. Now, excuse me, I'm busy.
Well, did you ever see such a conceited man?
I never thought a thing like this would happen. My own wife and my own daughter. The way I feel now, I'd like to go away someplace and never come back.
May I make a suggestion?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell. the friendly undertaker.
Oh, I didn't see you, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
What are you doing around here, Digger?
Just passing by. I've just attended a most impressive ceremony. We unveiled the tombstone of a colleague of mine. The epitaph inscribed on it touched me deeply.
Well, what did the epitaph say?
This one is on me. But you seem troubled, my friend.
Oh, Digger, it's my wife.
Ah, wives can be a problem. Now you take my wife, Brunhilda. She has a most annoying habit. At the dinner table, she serves me first and says, "Here, Odell, dig in." But in spite of that, I adore my wife. She's so gay.
Well, I love mine, too, but the trouble is she don't love me. You see, I was never polite to her.
Oh, politeness is most important, especially in our profession. For instance, whenever I've completed a business transaction, I shake hands, and with a cheerful smile, I say, "Thank you. Call again."
Well, I tried making it up to my wife by being extra polite, but I guess it's hopeless.
Never say that. In our profession, we have a theory. Though troubles beset him and worries besiege him and fate may harry him, a man may be down, but he's never out until they carry him.
I don't know what to do, Dick.
If only you could make one supreme beau geste.
No, I'm no good at telling jokes.
No, I mean one extravagant gesture of gallantry, like the one Sir Walter Raleigh made for good Queen Bess. He won her eternal love.
Yeah, what did he do?
He threw a cloak across a puddle so the queen should not wet her dainty feet. That did it.
It did?
Well, if he can do it, so can I.
Riley, you're not serious.
Yes, I am. I'll try anything to win back Peg, and I'll do it, too. All I need is a puddle.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing. Go find a puddle. But remember, if you get in too deep, even I won't be able to pull you out. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Oh, Riley, I don't know why you insisted on going to a movie tonight. It's the wet out.
That's fine.
What?
Don't worry. It stopped raining.
But it's liable to start again any minute. Let's go back home.
No.
Oh, all right, then. Come on. Let's cross here.
No, not there. You want to get killed? That's a pedestrian lane. Let's cross here.
Well, all right. Come on.
Wait, there's a puddle.
Well, that's all right. I'll step over it.
No, not my little wife. Here, allow me.
Riley, what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to put this coat across it so my darling queen shouldn't get her tootsies wet.
Stop it! You must be out of your mind.
There you are. Step on it, Queenie. And remember, it's through the courtesy of Sir Chester Riley.
You! Oh! I could actually hit you.
But, darling, what...
How could you be so... Look what you've done.
Yeah, sweetheart, I was only being polite. Like, you know, Sir Walter Riley. He put a coat over the puddle and the queen loved him for it. I only did what he did.
Yes, but you used my coat.
But. Hello, Mother.
Oh, hello, dear.
Is dinner... Mother, the new chair, you got it back again.
Yes, this afternoon. I phoned the store, and luckily they still had it.
But Daddy doesn't...
I don't care. After what he did to my coat last night, I'm not going to worry about his comfort anymore. I want a new chair in the living room, and he'll just have to put up with it, even if he hates it.
Peg!
Uh-huh. Now for the fireworks.
I'm ready for him. Yes?
Oh, Peg, are you still... Oh, Dumplin', the new chair. You got it back. It worked. You love me after all.
What a revolting development this is. Why didn't you tell me what you were up to?
Well, when it comes to politeness, action speaks louder than deeds. And now, wilt thou honor me with a kiss, beloved?
All right, Sir Walter. But will you do me one favor?
Anything. Don't forget, from now on, I'm a gentleman. What's the favor?
Don't be a gentleman. Just be yourself.
No sooner said than done. Come on, pucker up, babe.
Procter & Gamble, makers of Draft, the sudsing miracle for silks, nylons, woolen, fishes, invites you to meet our guests next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. William Bendix will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Blaze of Noon. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker and is directed by Don Bernard, music by Lou Kozlov. The script by Reuben Shipp, Alan Lipscott, and Jack Brecker. Tonight's cast included Paula Winslow, John Brown, Barbara Eiler, and Frank Nelson. This is Ken Carpenter inviting you to listen again next week to The Life of Riley.
The Life of Riley, on Tuned to Yesterday, from March 29, 1947, on NBC. Of the three major networks, NBC at that time in radio history had plenty of top-rated sitcoms on the air, like the show we just heard, part of their Saturday night lineup at 8, over 15 million people tuned in, and far and away their most popular sitcoms on the air. Coming in second, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and in the top spot, drawing over 22.5 million listeners to their sets Tuesday nights at 9, was the Amos and Andy program. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for another hit NBC sitcom. It's The Aldrich Family. This episode first heard on October 28, 1948.
Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother.
No one has ever yet succeeded in crowding into one definition all the amazing characteristics of a typical teenage American boy. The best you can do is to say, boys will be boys, and let it go at that. This is especially true of Henry Aldrich. The scene opens in an empty classroom at Central High.
Henry, let's go. I'm hungry.
Wait a minute, Homer. Do you hear footsteps out there in the hall?
Sure, all the kids are going downstairs to eat their lunch like sensible human beings.
But do you hear any footsteps that sound like Mr. Nelson?
Henry, what are you afraid of?
Who's afraid? I'm not afraid.
Then why are you holding my hand?
Look, Homer, just open the door, see?
Sure, and we'll both go downstairs and eat our lunch.
No, Homer. Just peek out into the hall and tell me when you see Mr. Nelson going into the teacher's room.
Okay, Hen, but...
Don't stick your head out.
How can I see him if I don't stick my head out?
But he might see you.
Is that bad?
Quick, Homer, close the door.
But, Henry, I'm hungry.
Here, have my lunch. I've got glue on my mind.
Oh, boy.
Look, all we have to do is wait till Mr. Nelson is safely inside the teacher's room.
Yeah, why?
Homer, isn't it clear? I've got to keep out of his way. Although, gee whiz, it wasn't even my fault. I don't think.
What was it?
Knocking over the glue pot and manual training. Besides, I was just doing Willie a good turn by helping him knock his block off.
Helping him what?
Knock his block off. Knock his block off. He went and put one block too many in his inlaid breadboard.
And you knocked over a whole pot of glue?
No. Gee whiz, it was only half full.
But Mr. Nelson threw a fit.
You know what really made him mad? He stepped in the glue, see? And walked right out of his shoe. Yeah, and right there in the toe of his sock was about the biggest hole I've ever seen.
Gee, you don't ever think of teachers as being real human beings with holes in their socks, do you?
And I'm not sure, but I think he had one in the heel, too.
Boy, Henry.
Sure. So tell me the truth. Do you think I deserve to get a detention for a little thing like that?
Gee, Wisdom, Mr. Nelson give you a detention?
Not yet. That's why I'm avoiding him. All he said was he'd look into the glue pot later. Homer, somebody's coming.
Well, Henry, my peanut butter sandwich.
Quick, get under the desk.
Henry, you're sitting on me.
Stop squirming, Homer. We'll show.
How could we?
Henry! My goodness, what are you and Homer doing under that desk?
Oh, Kathleen, I thought you were... Homer, get up.
I can. I'm underneath.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
My goodness, I was just talking about you.
About me, Kathleen?
Homer, what could I possibly say about you?
That's true.
It was about the basketball game this afternoon, Henry.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, basketball game.
And my goodness, the silliest thing happened. Guess who asked me to go to the game with him? Charlie Clark.
Charlie Clark?
Well, you know how he pesters me. He even wanted to take me out for soda afterwards. My goodness, I suppose he thinks I'd be the envy of all the girls if I went with him.
Wouldn't they be envious if you went with Henry?
Homer, don't be ridiculous.
Of course, Homer, don't be ridiculous.
Kathleen, what's so ridiculous about that?
And Henry, Charlie said if at the last minute you couldn't take me to the game to let him know.
Oh, he did? Well, gee, what did he mean by that?
Well, that's what I wondered. You are going to take me, aren't you, Henry?
Well, sure, Kathleen, absolutely. I might be, well, a couple of minutes late, well, but I'll be there. I'm pretty sure.
There's nothing wrong, is there, Henry?
Wrong? Gee whiz, no. Everything, the things have never been better, I think.
Then why are you and Homer waiting here in this classroom?
Why, we like it here, where it's quiet.
Oh, well, then I'll meet you at Miss Trevor's classroom at 3:45.
Sure. Oh, Kathleen, is anybody out in the hall?
No, Henry.
The coast is clear, Homer. Come on.
Nobody
said
Miss Nelson. Bye.
Well, Mr. Nelson?
Sure, Henry. Here he comes down the hall.
Oh, boy, Homer. Look. Look. I'll be taking a drink from the water fountain here. You stand in front of me.
Okay, bend over.
Act nonchalant, Homer.
Nonchalant?
Hello there, Homer.
Gee. Hello, Mr. Nelson. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
That's fine.
Fine.
Now, would you mind stepping aside, Homer? I'd like to get a drink.
A drink?
If you please.
Of water?
Unless they've started putting soda pop in the fountain.
Well, that would be an awfully good idea, don't you think?
Now, Homer, step aside.
Yes, sir.
Why, Henry. Why, Mr. Nelson. Gee, the one person in school
You wanted to speak to me, Henry?
Yes, sir, just want to apologize for that little accident this morning in manual training.
Well, which accident do you mean?
When I accidentally, and through no fault of my own, helped knock over the glue pot.
You mean you were the one who knocked it over?
You mean you didn't know?
Well, Henry, as much as I admire your honesty...
Yes, sir?
I'm afraid I'll have to give you a detention. Mr. Bradley's rules, you know.
A detention? This afternoon?
Yes, Henry, in my room right after school.
But Mr. Nelson...
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm eating my lunch here in the teacher's room.
Oh, boy.
Hello there, Nelson.
How are you, Prescott? This seat taken?
No, go ahead. I just came from band practice. Have you got an aspirin?
Afraid not. I used all mine.
Does anyone know what'll take chalk off
course? Oh, is it good to sit down? My feet are killing me.
Well, I'll trade you my head for your feet any day. So, aren't you eating?
Not yet. All I want to do is sit here and relax.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, someone to see you.
Oh, why does everything always go wrong on Monday?
Is this only Monday? My head feels like Friday.
Yes, what can I... Oh, it's you again, Henry.
Yes, sir, indeed. How are you anyway, Mr. Nelson?
Frankly, I'm hungry.
Why, I was just wondering, Mr. Nelson, was it this afternoon you said you wanted me to take my detention?
It was.
Or was it tomorrow afternoon?
It was this afternoon.
Not tomorrow?
Henry...
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Nelson. I'll be glad to stay after school. Only, what do you think our basketball team is going to do today?
What they usually do, lose.
Oh. Mr. Nelson, did I tell you how sorry I am I knocked over your sock? I mean, your glue. Gee whiz.
I'm sorry, too, Henry. Now, was that all you had
on
your...
I just hope your shoes are all right.
They will be once I get them loose from the floor up there.
Well, gee whiz, what are you wearing?
These gym shoes are very comfortable.
Gym shoes?
I had to borrow them from Charlie Clark.
Charlie? Oh, boy. Mr. Nelson, about this afternoon...
About this afternoon, Henry. I'll see you at 3:30.
Yes, sir. Just... before the basketball game?
That's right.
Oh.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
Who is that, Nelson?
The Aldrich boy.
Oh, yes? What do you want coming in here?
He didn't say. Nice boy, that Henry.
Are you sure you haven't gotten the aspirin?
Positive. I hated to have to give him a detention, but you know how Mr. Bradley is.
I sure do.
Have to keep your finger on everybody's pulse, you know.
Speaking of pulse, look who just came in.
Well, Miss Trevor.
Mr. Nelson, Mr. Preston.
Here, have my chair, Miss Trevor.
Oh, no, have mine.
Why don't I just take this empty one right here?
What's that in the basket, Miss Trevor?
Apples. I just cleaned out my desk. Anyone like one?
No, thank you.
I'll have one.
Well, I'll have one, too.
Will you have one of my lettuce sandwiches, Miss Trevor?
No, thank you. I can only stay a minute. Mr. Nelson, about the basketball game this afternoon.
Oh, I'm certainly sorry you can't go with me, Miss Trevor.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Nelson, I got those papers marked last night.
Oh?
So I will be able to go with you after all.
Why, that's great. Yes, well.
Nelson, didn't you say you had a detention this afternoon?
Oh, say, I'd forgotten all about that.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'll tell you what, Miss Trevor, I don't mind being second choice.
What?
Suppose I pick you up at your room at 3:30.
Well,
now, just a minute. I can get out of this detention.
Oh, no, you can't, Nelson. Miss Trevor, I'll pick you up at 3:30.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Prescott.
Thank you, operator. I'll wait.
But, Henry, why are you phoning your mother?
I'm just using my head, Homer. I can get out of this detention.
You can.
If I can just replace that glue I spilled, I'm pretty sure Mr. Nelson will be reasonable about the whole thing.
Hello?
Now, get out of the phone booth, Homer. Hello, Mother.
Henry, why aren't you in school?
I am. I'm right here in Miss Shea's booth.
You're not in any kind of trouble, are you, dear?
Trouble? Well, gee, why do you say a thing like that? I just happened to be passing the phone, see, and I have 5 minutes before my next class.
Yeah?
And how are you?
I'm fine. Is that all you phoned for?
Sure, and could you please send Mary down here with a can of glue?
A can of what?
Glue, Mother, glue. What you used to stick shoes to. I mean furniture legs.
Dear, what do you want glue for?
For manual training. The can they had sort of ran out, see? And, well, I thought it might help matters if I supplied them with an extra one.
Well, that's very nice of you, Henry, but can't it wait until tomorrow?
No. Gee whiz, if I don't get it today, I'll probably get a detention.
What's that?
Oh, Henry.
Oh, boy.
Henry, did you say a detention?
Look, Mother, will you please tell Mary to run all the way? Goodbye.
Henry, I'm glad I found you.
Yes, Mr. Nelson.
I've been thinking over what you said to me in the teacher's room.
Gee, I didn't mean anything by that.
I know. But when you said you thought your detention was tomorrow...
Oh, I realize now that it's today.
But,
Henry, I wondered what you'd think, Mr. Nelson, if I were to replace the glue I spilled.
That won't be necessary, Henry.
You mean it wouldn't help matters any?
Henry, in view of the fact that you did clean up all the glue...
All except what spattered into the bandsaw.
You spattered glue on the bandsaw?
You mean you didn't know?
Well, Henry, even if you did...
And I realize, Mr. Nelson, that you have to punish me for it. Gee whiz, if you teachers didn't keep discipline around here, who would?
Well, Henry, what I had in mind was...
Mr. Nelson, I hope you won't think I'm being forward, but... Mr. Nelson, what would you think of this?
Of what?
How would you like to have sort of a right hand all the rest of the year?
What's that?
Gee, I'll clean up the manual training room and sharpen the chisels and carry messages for you and help you mark papers.
No, Henry, I don't think...
I'll do anything if you'll just release me from that detention today. Anything you ever ask me to do, Mr. Nelson, no matter what it is.
Henry, I certainly appreciate your offer.
Gee whiz, you do?
Therefore, Henry, yes, Mr. Bradley.
Step into my office for a moment.
Certainly, Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Nelson, about my property.
I'll be back in a minute, Henry. Wait right there.
Sure, Mr. Nelson, I'd be glad to.
This way, Mr. Nelson.
Hey, Homer, come here.
Sit down, please.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley.
Now then, Mr. Nelson, something quite serious has just happened.
Oh? Oh, it has?
It has. Oh. I've just received a call from a mother who claims that we're forcing her boy to supply glue for manual training.
What's that?
And, Mr. Nelson, when this mother pointed out that she pays taxes to buy just such items as glue, you can imagine my position.
Yes, sir, but...
I was without an answer, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, sir, but...
Mr. Nelson, if you ran out of glue in manual training this morning, may I ask why you didn't report it to me?
But, Mr. Bradley, we have plenty of glue in manual training. Lacquer that we're out of. Or is it varnish? No, I'm sure it's lacquer.
You're sure?
Yes, sir.
You're quite sure?
Why, I'm almost sure, sir.
I see. So, Mr. Nelson, you claim you have plenty of glue.
Yes, sir.
Now, would you please tell me how many pots?
Why, we have somewhere between Well, I know we have plenty, Mr. Bradley.
Plenty? I see. Mr. Nelson, when the school board asked me how many students we had registered in Central High, do you think I replied, plenty?
No, sir.
No, sir. I told them how many we had.
Yes, sir.
It appears to me, Mr. Nelson, that it must be quite difficult for you to teach manual training with only a vague idea as to the amount of your supplies.
Yes, sir.
You admit it's difficult.
Why, it isn't exactly that is...
It would be easier if you knew what you had in the storeroom.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Bradley, much easier.
And then I'm sure you'll agree with me that you ought to take a complete inventory of your manual training room supplies.
Yes, sir.
Very well. Begin right after your last class this afternoon, Mr. Nelson, and I want all the figures on my desk by 5 o'clock.
This afternoon, Mr. Bradley? I mean, you don't mean tomorrow afternoon.
I mean this afternoon.
Oh.
That will be all, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, Mr. Bradley, and, well, thank you, sir.
We have to keep our finger on everybody's pulse, you know.
Yes, sir, I know.
Here I am, Mr. Nelson. I'm still waiting.
Waiting for what?
Why, for your answer to my proposition. You know, about my helping you. Whenever you need help.
Oh, yes, Henry, I remember. Please report to the storeroom at 3:30 this afternoon.
This afternoon?
We are going to take inventory. And since it may take 3 or 4 hours, you'd better get some sandwiches from the cafeteria.
Sandwiches? You mean we'll be that long? But Mr. Nelson...
That's all right, Henry. Just charge them to me.
But Mr. Nelson...
Hey, Henry.
What, Homer?
I caught her.
You caught who?
Kathleen, like you just told me to. And I told you we were taking her out for a soda after the basketball game.
Homer, you didn't.
And she was so excited, she kissed me.
Oh, boy.
So I threw in a movie.
Oh, boy.
Henry's plans to take Kathleen to a basketball game this afternoon have been shattered by an after-school detention from Mr. Nelson. As a result of his efforts to avoid it, Henry and Mr. Nelson are now tied up for the whole afternoon taking inventory. The scene opens in Mr. Aldrich's office. It is later the same afternoon.
Hello?
Hello. Is that Mr. Aldrich?
Yes. Is that you, Homer?
Sure. Gee, how are you?
Well, I'm fine.
Mr. Aldrich, Henry wants to know if you'd mind having your secretary, Miss Thompson, run down here to school with your adding machine.
Adding machine? What for?
To speed things up. And while she's here, would you mind if Henry borrowed Miss Thompson?
What's that?
Then maybe he could polish this whole thing off in an hour and see the finish of the basketball game anyway.
Homer, what on earth are you talking about?
An inventory, Mr. Aldrich, in manual training.
Henry's taking inventory?
Yes, sir.
But isn't that a teacher's job?
Sure. Mr. Nelson's helping him.
Yes, but where does Henry come in? Why aren't some of the other teachers helping Mr. Nelson?
Why, there don't seem to be any available. I think they're all going to the basketball game.
Yeah? And dubbing that work off on the students?
Oh, no, it's just that Mr. Nelson and Henry sort of felt Henry should help Mr. Nelson.
Now, just a minute. Let's get to the bottom of this.
The bottom? I think Henry would just as soon you didn't.
What's that?
He'd just as soon you forgot the whole thing. Goodbye.
Homer, wait. Homer, come back here.
Can't you write all this down faster, Henry?
Yes, Mr. Nelson.
53 hacksaw blades.
53 hacksaw blades.
2 kegs, 3-inch nails.
2 kegs, 3-inch nails.
26 pots of glue.
Gee, we've got plenty of that, haven't we?
Just put down 26.
Yes, sir.
Now, 12 quarts of mahogany stain.
12 quarts of mahogany stain.
1 case tomato soup.
What?
Now, wait a minute. That belongs down in domestic science.
Gee, look at the time, Mr. Nelson. 3:40. When's the basketball game supposed to start?
4 o'clock.
Oh, boy. Gee, Mr. Nelson, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Now, what is it?
Frankly, do you think Charlie Clark is so handsome?
Yeah, I suppose he is, to a girl.
Gee, I hope not. You know who I'd really call handsome? That Mr. Prescott, for instance.
Prescott? Let's get back to our inventory.
Hey, Henry.
Gee whiz, it's Homer. Mr. Nelson, would you mind if I
stepped out of the storeroom just a second and had a word with my friend.
All right, but don't take more than a minute.
I won't.
Henry, I just phoned your father, and it's no use.
Why not?
He started asking too many questions.
Oh, boy. Then there's only one thing to do. Homer, you've got to take Kathleen to the basketball game for me.
I do.
Here are the tickets, and here's the money for the sodas. And don't let her even talk to Charlie Clark.
Okay, sure. It'll be a pleasure.
And be sure she has a real good time, Homer.
Oh, boy. I'll say I will.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean by that?
Oh, boy.
Now, wait, Homer. Let's talk this over.
Oh, Homer.
Yes, Mr. Nelson.
Will you drop this case of tomato soup off in domestic science on your way down?
I'd be glad to, Mr. Nelson. Is it creamed or clear?
Never mind. Just get it down there right away.
Homer.
Go on, Henry. Thanks for everything.
Homer, come back here.
Something wrong, Henry?
Mr. Nelson, did you see that look on Homer's face?
What about it?
See, was I'd be better off if she went to the game with Charlie.
But, Homer, the game starts in 10 minutes.
I know. Do you mind if I set this case of soup down?
Where's Henry? I've been waiting and waiting.
That's what I want to talk to you about, Kathleen. Guess who you're going to the game with?
Not Henry.
No, he has to take inventory up in the storeroom.
Inventory?
So guess who's taking you to the game?
Not Charlie Clark.
Guess again.
Homer, I can't. Who?
Me.
You?
Sure.
I'm going to the game with you?
Sure.
Right out in public?
And I'm taking you out for a soda afterward. What do you say about that?
Homer, I'm speechless.
I thought you would be.
And I must say, you certainly have your nerve.
Why?
Sneaking around behind your best friend's back and trying to steal his girlfriend right from under his nose.
But, Kathleen, he gave you to me.
Henry Aldrich would never do a thing like that to me.
Kathleen, are you insulting me?
Goodbye, Homer.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to the storeroom and help Henry take inventory.
But, Kathleen, students aren't allowed up there without permission.
I'll get in somehow.
Okay, Kathleen, that's your attitude. Where's my tomato soup?
Right there.
Okay, and see if I ever speak to either one of you again.
Homer, watch where you're going.
Which way do you ever want me to...
Homer, look out for the stairs!
Hey,
What was that again, Mr. Aldrich?
I just said, Mr. Bradley, that I don't want you to think of me as a complaining parent.
Oh, no, no, of course not, Mr. Aldrich. Why, one of my greatest pleasures as principal is hearing from our parents.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Bradley. Now, I realize it's a small thing, but my boy has his heart set on going to that basketball game this afternoon.
Of course he has.
And it seems to be just a bit unfair to force him to take an inventory just because all the teachers want to go to the game.
Oh, is that what's happened, Mr. Aldrich?
Didn't you know, Mr. Bradley?
Oh, why,
I assume you know what's going on in your own school.
Why, I do, Mr. Aldrich, I do. I do. As a matter of fact, I was just about to clamp down on that very thing.
I'm glad to hear it, Mr. Bradley.
Although I'm sure, Mr. Aldrich, you'll agree with me, our teachers ought to attend the school basketball game.
Certainly, Mr. Bradley, just as long as they don't neglect their own work and keep students from attending.
You're entirely right, Mr. Aldrich. I'll look into Henry immediately. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Aldrich. Let's hear from you again. Miss Shea! Miss Shea!
Yes, Mr. Bradley?
Miss Shea, have all the teachers gone to the game this afternoon?
Well, I'm not sure, Mr. Bradley.
You're not sure? Miss Shea, as my secretary, it seems to me you ought to know what's going on in this school.
Yes, Mr. Bradley.
Didn't any of the teachers have papers to mark or lessons to prepare? Didn't any of them have detention?
Well?
Yes, Miss Shea?
Well, Mr. Nelson is taking inventory.
Inventory? Go up there and tell Henry Aldrich I want to see him immediately.
This is still Miss Trevor's classroom, isn't it, Mr. Nelson?
Henry, I'm beginning to wonder.
This is where Kathleen said to meet her. Jeez, I wonder where they are. We're only a few minutes late.
Henry, are you sure Mr. Bradley said to drop the inventory?
Positive, Mr. Nelson. Gee, he was as nice as pie.
That's strange.
Mm-hmm. He said to go to the game and to remember all the good plays so I could tell my father.
Oh, Mr. Nelson.
There's Miss Trevor now.
And Kathleen, too. Hi, Kathleen. Am I glad to see you.
Hello, Henry. Mr. Nelson, can I speak to you alone for a minute?
Why, of course. What is it?
I'm afraid it's bad news.
Henry. Boy, Kathleen, let's get going to the game. I'm finally all straightened out.
You are? Well, look.
For a while, I was pretty worried, Kathleen. I thought I'd never get to take it.
Henry.
But everything's all right now. Come on.
But that's just it, Henry. I can't go.
You can't go? Why not?
Henry, I was only on my way to help you with your inventory
when...
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Bradley.
You have to excuse Kathleen, Henry. She has a 2-hour detention this afternoon.
Detention?
Yes, here in Miss Trevor's room. Henry, what would you think of a young lady who climbs around on fire escapes?
Fire escapes, Kathleen?
Oh, Miss Trevor.
Yes, Mr. Bradley?
The sooner you begin your detention, the sooner you will be free to talk to Mr. Nelson.
Gee whiz, Kathleen. Gee, you mean I have to go to the basketball game with somebody like Homer?
Homer can't go either.
He can't?
He's down in the nurse's office. They're reviving him with tomato soup.
I'm sorry, I can't go to the game with you, Mr. Nelson.
I'm sorry, too, Miss Trevor.
Come along, Kathleen.
Goodbye, Henry.
Goodbye, Kathleen. Gee whiz.
I know exactly how you feel, Henry.
Mr. Nelson.
Yes, Henry?
Mr. Nelson, how would you like to go to the basketball game with me?
I'd be delighted, Henry. Let's go.
Still mad because Kathleen just happened to accidentally kiss me? Henry?
Huh.
Won't she even speak to me? Henry?
Huh.
Oh, Mr. Seymour.
Yes, Homer.
Will you ask Henry why he won't shake hands with me and end this whole thing?
Sure thing. But first, let me tell the folks about the happiest ending a meal ever came to. Yep, it's Jell-O, the luscious, shimmering dessert everybody goes for.
Here's hoping you'll be in your living room and ours next week at the same time. Good night, folks.
The Aldrich Family, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 28th of October, 1948 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for listening.